Blah. Blah. Blind as a bat. We have dry, flushed skin because they can't sweat, so it's also going to be red because it's going to be vasodilated. It's going to be very warm, and we call that dry as a bone and hot as a hair. Hallucinations, agitation. We call that mad as a hatter. And what's the technical term for that? Dementia. Patient will be hot, that goes with the dry, flushed skin. Urinary retention, will not pee as much, that goes along with the dry as a bone. Delayed intestinal motility, leading to everyone's favorite, constipation. Tachycardia, high heart rate, and eventually seizures, coma, death.
Lovely.
We would like to stop them before they get to seizures, coma, death. Okay. There's your mnemonic. Oh, red is a beat. That's a new one, isn't it? Yes, it is new. Ah. Yeah. That's for the red flushed skin. Erythema. Yeah. But the whole, when the whole body is red, that's usually called flushed, though. As opposed to a specific area of skin, that would be erythema. All right. That would probably be called flushed also. Yeah. All right. Now, if you got red because you've been like rubbing your eyes, that would be called erythema. All right. Drugs with anticholinergic side effects. There's a lot of them here, aren't there? Okay, now, notice. All right. Scopolamine, tolteridine. You were supposed to know those two, right? Yep. Atropine has the most, but notice that prednisone has a fairly high level. Hydroxyzine, which is an antihistamine similar to Benadryl. I thought Benadryl was on here. Oxybutynin, you know that one. Lasix, which we use as diuretic. So Lasix is a very common drug to give elderly people. So is Digoxin. So is Benadryl. These drugs all have a lot of anticholinergic side effects. So if a person has Alzheimer's disease or dementia already, guess what they are at risk for? Make it worse. All right. Physical exam. Yeah, now we're actually going to do the physical exam. There's four aspects to a physical exam for neuro. The first one is actually mental status. Now, mental status can take one of two different ways. It can go more towards a neurological exam or more towards a psychiatric exam. So what we're going to do is we're going to keep it kind of middle of the road, a little bit of both. Then we will do the cranial nerves. Then we will do a sensory exam and then a motor exam. And there will be a little bit of crossover between these two here. All right, so let's start with mental status. First thing is the level of consciousness. Is the person alert, somnolent, asleep? Are they in a coma? Level of consciousness. Their speech. What do they talk like? What do they talk like? What do they talk like? Do they have a lisp? Stutter? Yeah. What is their speech like? Orientation. What do we say the four orientations are? No. North, south, east, and west. What are the four orientations? Okay. What's your name? Who are you? Where are you? When are you? When are you? What's the time? What's the date? And then, what's the context? So remember, a lot of times, people will know who they are. They'll know they're in the hospital. They'll know that what time frame it is, but they think that they're visiting someone. They don't realize they're the patient. So the context is very important. And a lot of times, we tend to leave that one out because it's probably the most difficult one to really find out about. Knowledge of current events. What's going on in the world right now? Who's the president? Yeah. What do you think about Condoleezza Rice running for president?
I wish him the best.
Yeah. I saw another one with this, like, Team Miss America, and they asked her why 5% of people in the U.S. don't know where the U.S. is located on a map. She goes, well, I think America should help Africa and Asia and other
countries
to go and get the map.
That's funny.
I've heard nurses say awake and alert.
Alert and oriented times three means the person is awake and they know who they are, when they are, and where they are. But really, it should be times four. Yeah. So, knowledge of current events. Judgment. Now, the way you get a judgment is you have to ask them questions. So, let's test your judgment. Fernanda. If you were walking along the street and you found a piece of stamped mail that was sealed, what would you do with it? Okay, so that's an appropriate judgment statement. Now, if someone says, well, I would take it home and open it, or I would throw it away, not appropriate. So you're going to ask them a question that requires them to have some judgment. If you're walking along in a nice suit and it starts raining, what would you do? Put enough an umbrella, gum inside, take off the jacket. Those are all appropriate. You know, stay in the rain. You know, find a big puddle and splash in it. Not so appropriate. Little kid stuff. Abstraction. Now, abstract means removed from reality. So what we're talking about is the idea for abstract thought. So what is this? This is a pencil. This is a concrete object. All right, now, writing utensil, is that abstract or is that concrete? Writing utensil. Is that a more abstract concept than pencil? Okay, because you can't point to one thing and say, writing utensil. There's various things that are writing utensils. You can even use your fingernail as a writing utensil or your pocket knife. Carve it into, you know. So abstract is the idea of pulling away from reality to more abstract thought. So things like emotions, happy, sad, constructs like world peace, those are abstract thought. Concrete things are things you can point to. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to use proverbs or idioms to try and get at this. So, Daphne, what does it mean that a rolling stone gathers no moss? Say again? What keeps moving? Okay. Now, if the rock moves, is that a concrete thought or an abstract thought? Okay, that's a concrete thought because the rock rolling down the hill doesn't, no moss grows on it. That's a concrete thought. Now, if we wanted an abstract interpretation of that proverb, what would the abstract interpretation be? People who keep moving don't get lazy or don't get fat. Ah! All right, so now that you understand how the game is played, do you want to go again, Daphne? No, thanks. All right, Stephanie. A stitch in time saves nine. All right, let me try a different one on you.
An
ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
An ounce of prevention. So if you prevent it, you can cure it.
That preventing is better than curing after the problem occurs. So a stitch in time, one small action now can save a lot of actions in the future. If you catch it while the rip is small, it doesn't get bigger. You don't have to use as many later on. These aren't riddles. These are proverbs. Your parents should have taught you these. Okay, let's try another one. Instead of using a proverb, we could also use an idiom. So, what does it mean to let sleeping dogs lie? Don't mess with dogs, is that what it means?
Don't wake up sleeping. Tricks are for kids.
Now, what it means is don't rile things up unnecessarily. What does it mean to beat a dead horse, Arla?
If it's already dead, then you don't need to beat it.
Is that a concrete thought? Yes. What would be an abstract interpretation of don't beat a dead horse? Ah, so subjects that have already been beat to death and done to death, don't go over them some more. So I shouldn't do sympathetic and parasympathetic anymore? Oh, those aren't dead yet. Those are still alive and kicking.
Alive and kicking.
Yeah. All right.
You're alive and kicking.
Harmony.
But I can understand all that, but what if, like us, we're foreigners? Like,
okay. Foreigners.
Lie, right?
All right. Let me ask you a very simple question. What brought you, what brings you to school today?
To learn.
Okay, to learn.
To play.
Now, is to learn an abstract or a concrete thought?
That's abstract.
That's abstract. What about the tri-rail?
What about it?
That would be a concrete thought. So when a patient comes in, you say, why are you here today? Or what brought you here today? And they go, a car. That's a very concrete thought. So the abstract thought is, I've been having some shortness of breath or whatever it is. So what you're looking at is, do they only think on a concrete level, touchy-feely level, or are they able to think at higher levels of thought? So. All right, one more. Harmony, what does bury the hatchet mean? Your hatchet was rusty and I buried it. Okay. And the abstract interpretation?
Abstract means to let things be, let it go.
Okay, to stop fighting. So instead of taking the hatchet and burying it in Arla's head.
What?
You're burying my head now?
No, I've got a hatchet. Instead of hitting you with my hatchet, I'm going to bury it, which means I'm not going to fight anymore.
Okay.
So bury the hatchet means to forgive and make up. To blave. Means to bluff. All right. You can ask, for vocabulary, what we're doing is we're really looking at a person's ability to know complex words. So you'd ask them to define a couple words for you. So, what does disestablishmentarianism mean? Yeah. No, you wouldn't use a word like that. But you might use a word like pandemonium, or actually that's a little bit big.
Yeah, I mean, this is all dependent on...
Yeah, I know, a lot of it does depend on education. But...
So obviously we have really poor education.
I'll keep using smaller words until you know what they mean. All right. What is a disaster? Okay, something bad that happens. All right. Okay. Now, we're going to look at emotional responses. Does a person smile? Does a person frown? Are there emotional responses appropriate? Next one is memory. Now, memory, we're going to do two things. Registration and recall. Yes, exactly. Registration and recall. So, Claudia, I'm going to say three words, and I want you to repeat those three words. And then, when we talk for a few more minutes, I'm going to ask you, what were those three words, and you're going to tell them back to me. So, when she says the words after me, that means it's gotten into her head, through her brain, into her mouth, and out. That's called registration. A few minutes later, when I ask, what were those words again, she's going to recall them from her memory. All right. So, and you want to make sure that your three words are not necessarily related. So you want to use baseball and bat, because those two words are related.
You want to make sure they're related or they're not?
No, not related.
You want to make it difficult.
Difficult. But you want them to be like simple objects. So I want you to say the word penny, car, and pencil. Okay, so remember those words. Now, the next thing we're going to do is we're going to do calculation ability. So there's a couple ways we can do calculation ability. We can ask someone to subtract 9 from 100. So Tara, would you mind subtracting 9 from 100? What would that be?
91.
91. And then do it again.
91.
91.
Oh, keep doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And keep doing it again. And again. Okay, so that would be, you know, a calculation ability. Or you could ask them to do a calculation like, you know, what's 2 times 16 or something like that. Then we have object recognition. What's this?
Dry
erase marker. What's this? A piece of paper. All right, so object recognition. And then we have praxis. Praxis is the ability to make meaningful movements. There's a couple different ways we can do that. We can ask a person to shake hands, but that's kind of a gross movement. To do a fine movement, you could ask them to write something down. So write your name down. Or you could ask them to draw a clock. So draw a clock, and I want you to put all the numbers in your clock, an analog clock, not a digital. And I want you to make the hands at 12. Well, sorry, let's see. Yeah, if they never learned how to tell time, this isn't going to work, is it now?
Is this something?
What? Okay, you could do that too. But wait, hang on. There's a reason behind this madness here. I want you to make the time 9:15. Quarter past 9. So, for those of you who don't know how to do this, here's your circle, dot in the middle, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And then we had our hands at 1/4. Big hand, past 9, little hand.
That 9 is not up
the.
Now, this is called the clock drawing task. Not only does it test praxis, it also tests a lot of memory stuff and a lot of thinking ability. Yeah. This one test does a heck of a lot of functional testing. If a person can't draw a clock, they should not be driving. What does drawing a clock have to do with driving? Everything. In order to drive, what do you have to be able to do?
Tell time.
Well, all right, now, okay, that's a little bit different. We're talking about mental status versus the actual physical. Yeah. So in the mental status, if a person can't do this, they have no business driving, because in order to drive, a person has to judge distances. They have to be able to react to stimuli that are going on. They have to know where they want to go in the first place. When I say people can't do this, people will have something like, they'll do like this. I mean, some bizarre things.
Look, people actually
Yeah. Clock drawing is you either get it or you don't. And if someone can't get it, their brain can't process that. They can't process driving. Right. All right. So, Claudia.
I've seen it done.
Claudia, what were those three words? All right, so she successfully passed the recall. Woohoo!
So what happens if a regular person, like one of us, was to be tested that way and not pass because we didn't know, like...
What a clock looked like?
Or the little idioms?
I would keep asking you questions until I got an abstract answer.
Okay.
or if I never got an abstract answer.
So you keep on trying because you mm-hmm. think maybe they didn't understand what you're trying to say. So you
right.
try a couple of times. You don't
yeah.
like cost to be able to
yes. Cost. Yeah. Now, what we've found is that your generation doesn't understand Proverbs, not because they don't have the ability to think abstractly, although that is somewhat impaired. The real reason is because you've never been exposed to those Proverbs in the first place, which is part of the reason why your abstract ability to think has not been developed as much.
What a tragedy.
Ah, what a tragedy. All right.
How do we interpret abstract?